A flank of musicians march across a hollow space. The sound waves bounce wildly against the concrete floors and pillars of the fourth floor of the Beacon Arts building. You could describe the group as an improvisational marching band from another dimension. But in fact, we're just a few blocks from the freeway, in Inglewood, and not too far away from an IHOP, where, in a way, the city's only art gallery was born.
Would you like pancakes or fruit?
You know what? I'm not going to eat anything, thanks.
Nothing?
No.
Some fruit or something?
Have some fruit.
Scott Lane is a real estate manager for a guy who owns a chain of IHOPs and an old storage building that beckoned as something totally different.
The owner and I were looking at his properties. He mentioned how his son, it reminded him of a place in Soho. So we thought about art and art studios. So I Googled, and up pops Rene Fox. So it was interesting that there were artists in Inglewood.
Scott knew nothing about art, so we called up Rene with an offer. Curate a giant art space, the first of its kind in the city. So, what did she think?
The first thing I thought was this was some sort of real estate deal and I didn't want to be involved. It's just the kind of thing that you don't believe. It sounds too good to be true. And so we had a couple meetings and I realized, wow, well maybe this was a really great opportunity that I could make into something amazing. And
Rene Fox is an artist herself. Colored pencils on paper is her medium. While at Otis Art Institute on LA's West Side, she lived in nearby Culver City, then a true artist's enclave.
Rent there used to be really inexpensive, but as I was there, the rents were going up and galleries started moving in. That whole transition happened really fast, and now it is one of the more expensive places.
So she turned her sights south to Inglewood. What she found there was an underground, closely-knit community of artists. Some were new Otis graduates like Renee. Others had been there for decades, like Steve Hurd.
Well, they're peace pipe paintings, right? So here,
Steve lives and works in a commercial space in town. He got a deal on this place 2 decades ago as the LA riots were crippling the city. It's a much different area now, but as Steve watches new artists like Renee flood into the town, he wonders if their escape from high rent is ultimately self-defeating.
The artists that are moving in are fixing up places, and ironically, they're kind of going to screw themselves because the rents will go up, and then they will be moved out, and they will find another place where everything's messed up and they can fix it up, and so it goes.
And then there's the ripples that travel outside the insular art community. As artists come into derelict areas and improve them and subsequently make them more expensive, other residents are affected too. It's a well-known phenomenon.
Happened with Silver Lake, happened with Venice, happened with Abercrombie, absolutely.
J.C. Johnson and his wife own The Serving Spoon, a popular eatery in town.
Good to see you. How you doing, sweetie?
Johnson has seen artists coming into abandoned warehouses in the north part of town. Many are already regulars at his restaurant. He sees incoming artists as a boon for property values.
You know, there's a lot of homeowners here in Inglewood. So those homeowners will embrace that appreciation. Absolutely.
Other black Inglewood residents, like Aaron Aubrey Kaplan, have seen that welcoming attitude towards incoming white residents.
My husband is Jewish. He's white. And we live in a part of Inglewood where there are very few white people, let alone Jewish people. When we moved there, people came outside and they thought gentrification was happening. And they were happy. Oh, this means that more of them are coming. Well, you know, they figured out he was with me and they all went home. But we really had this association that if white people are there, it's a good place.
And they've been coming. The latest census figures shows the white population up 5% since 2000. Renee and Scott have expanded their partnership to include another building, a former Volkswagen dealership now dedicated strictly to artist studios. It's becoming a popular spot for Otis grads. Renee says she's aware of the problems of gentrifying a town, but maintains the intentions are always for the best.
You know, you don't wish any place to be poor or run down with empty buildings everywhere. And when an artist moves into a place that is like that, I've never heard anyone say that they, you know, wish that the neighborhood would remain defunct just so that they could have cheaper rent.
But the biggest combatant to any displacement could be pride in the city from longtime black residents. Inglewood still has one of the highest black populations in Los Angeles, and many longtime residents like it that way.
I believe it's about the last one.
Me too. Where else can they go?
This is the Alamo. Yeah. This is it.
Harold Green and Ron Starling have lived in Inglewood for decades and came at a time when the city was mostly white. They say they're willing to accept whatever shifts come into town, but no matter what, this will always be home.
I'm not going nowhere. I love Inglewood. It's better than a lot of other parts of the city. A lot better than a lot of other parts of the city.
But so far, most of Inglewood says it's ready. Ready to embrace the sound of something new. For Annenberg Radio News, this is Tom Doten.